Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 751. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Congratulations on making it on time, Chris. I heard it was impossible to be on time from trivia.
It can be tough to get back here from trivia on time.
Earl still hasn't made it back from the last time he went to trivia.
That is true. It's been three episodes we've done now. He showed up briefly in the midst of one. He tried to call in from the train station. That didn't work out for him. So Jeff is here as well.
Yeah, I got back from karaoke.
Oh, were you karaoke?
Yeah, nice. I was singing.
What did you sing, Jeff?
8647309.
All right. Well, I guess we're all going to be getting under indictment shortly. Were you actually at karaoke,
no.
Jeff?
No, I was in Vampire Crawlers. That's where I was.
Which is a fun place to be.
Yeah.
Oh no. We'll see. we'll see what Tony has to say about it shortly. Yeah, we've all been traveling. Jeff was on a cruise. Tony's been work traveling nonstop. I just got back from Nashville. How was everybody's trips to the various locales that you had? Jeff, how was your cruise? It was a cruise, right?
Yeah, it was a short 3-day cruise that we just went on for free because she got it through her work or whatever.
Hey.
My wife. And
free's nice.
Yeah.
Free's the right price.
It's nice. It's just so short. Like, it's too short. I've never been on a cruise that short. I don't know if I've ever done it under like a 7-day. So that was weird. The weather was not ideal. It was like overcast and kind of rainy. And well, not normal about rainy, but it was like overcast. And like, so the second day we went to a beach and the water was too cold to get in. And I'm literally sitting 10 feet away from my favorite thing in the world. And I'm just like, I can't go in. It's too cold.
Oh, no.
So where did you guys travel to?
Oh, no, we're good. Nassau and some island called Grand Bahama, which was a really depressing place. That's where we went to the beach. The beach was nice, but you got to see the island on the drive there. And yeah, it just looks like a bombed out, like fucking hellhole. Would not recommend. Like, I don't know.
Okay.
Taking your cruise based on that, or like going there.
Oh, so I have been to the Bahamas. I had an excellent time. I'm just saying.
Okay.
I'm just saying. There's better islands than Grand Bahama. Like we were the bus driver on the way there. But by the way, the bus driver was awesome. He should go like work at the Jungle Cruise in Disney World. He's that good. But he was just like, yeah, see that high rise on the left there? They closed down because too many people jumped off of it. Just like, Jesus Christ.
Bringing all the positivity.
He was kind of tongue-in-cheek with stuff, but like, I think he was stating facts. And then he's like, there's the best restaurant on the island. It was KFC. I'm like, again, yeah, it's kind of a joke, but like, he didn't seem like he was really kidding. He's like, no.
I think I know where that KFC is, actually. I think that's
he's like, there's another KFC, but that's the good one. I was like, okay. and then the other bad thing is, it didn't bother me at all, really, but like, it's a, because we're going on really shorter trips, it's one of their older ships, and it's like 20-year-old ship, and it reminded me of what going on cruises were like in the 90s. Like, a little less, like, there isn't like, five different event venues and like an ice rink, and right. It was just like, yeah, there's a theater where you could have shows. You know what I mean? It's very simplified cruise ship.
But was there an ice rink on one of the ones you went on couple years?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's one that we usually go on has an ice rink. It has a water theater. So, like, there's, like, a big, water-themed show that they do there with people, like, jumping from 100 feet up into the water and shit like that. And what else do they got? The one that we usually go on has a boardwalk with trees. Or no, I'm sorry. It has a central park with trees, and then on another level, it has a boardwalk with like a carousel and like a hot dog place. And so, like, and especially for like Melissa, like she was spoiled by that. Like she just thought that's what cruising is. I'm like, no, dude, they've advanced it quite a bit. so she got to see the old school experience, and with that, she got the weather, like I said, and which included like you know winds and choppy waters, and that thing was rocking, man. She got sick. I just leaned into it. I just pretend I've had too much to drink.
Right. You just drank more. You're like, I'm going to have alcohol the way.
Yeah. So it was fun. It was just like a tease, though. You know what I mean? It's like, it was kind of a trip.
Yeah.
How about you guys?
We just got back from Nashville. That was an interesting trip. It took forever to get there, so we should have been there like early on Friday, but we spent 8 hours in the airport instead. So Friday was a wash. And what I quickly learned is that Nashville is, I mean, outside of if you are interested in like country music, they have like the Country Music Museum, like the CMA Museum, the Grand Ole Opry is there. You can take a tour of that. But if you're not into any of that, like they're, and actually all of their top listings on like, hey, like what are things to go do in Nashville is their bar scene on Broadway.
Yeah.
So that's it. Like it is like, there's this like 12 block radius. I don't even know. It's probably not a 12 block radius. It's like 12 blocks total of bars. It's like, you know, Bon Jovi has a bar, Garth Brooks has a bar, you name it, they probably have a bar on Broadway.
Noted and that's cool. Country musician John Bon Jovi?
Yeah, yeah. Which is weird, but I did spend some time there. It's a nice bar. It's like 5 stories tall, which is kind of
yeah,
cool.
That's what I heard.
It's probably
all
the one
bars.
Place that wasn't playing country music.
Went there for so free. They were on the top floor and they sucked. And we went down a level because so here's the other thing that I noticed. So and you guys could tell me if this is different in Washington and Chicago, but here, like when we have like cover bands come into a bar, like most of the time the bar is paying them. So like they're like spotting the money, or there's a cover charge, which is paying for the band.
Right.
Here I don't think the bars pay the bands because they aggressively come around with like a bucket, like for tips.
Oh God.
All of them, every band,
it's like church,
in the
except
bars.
The band.
Yeah.
This time.
And my wife noticed this. I didn't quite pick up on it, but she said like every bar that we were at that has a band had like a girl singer and that's who they send around.
Like, oh God.
With the bucket. So like every time they would do that, I was just like, all right, time to go. They're making their rounds to and I don't have cash on me. So it's like, right. And then they become really pushy and they're like, well, you can scan the QR code. Like it'll take you to our Venmo. And it's like, no, like pay your bands, Nashville. Like,
right. That's awful. That's awful. Yeah.
You are a celebrity bar. Like John Bon Jovi owns your bar. Garth Brooks owns your bar. I assume the same for like what I called Racist Row, which was Kid Rock, Morgan Wallen, Jelly Roll, and Jason Aldean. They all have bars next to each other. I did not go into any of those bars, but
you probably would have made it out alive.
Right. But pay your bands, man. But yeah, like it's, if you are into that scene of just like bar hopping and like drinking standard beer too. That was the other thing I noticed.
Oh no.
Is their beer menus are like Bud Light, Miller Light, Coors Light, yeah. Coors Banquet. Some of them have Yingling, which isn't like that's a PA beer. Right. That was like, well, that's I guess that's the closest.
It is.
I'm gonna have to drink
out.
Yingling in Nashville. Is that what we do? I have to go to Nashville in 2 months. Now I don't want to go. Thanks, Chris.
Yingling is now here. Okay. I think it was as of last year, and I was never here. It was never here before. Yeah. So they've like stepped up their game or whatever.
But that's the type of, like, it's like nationalized beers. Like, it's like I was able to find one local beer at the few bars we went to.
I guess though, you're in Tennessee, so you're supposed to be drinking bourbon and whiskey, right?
I guess, yeah. Like, there is, like, you can get lots of different Tennessee whiskey. They have them in the mall. Like, we went to the mall on Sunday, and there is, like, straight up bourbon stores in the mall, which I thought was kind of funny because, like, here in PA, that you don't have, like, you have to go to a liquor store in PA to get liquor. Like, you're not just walking into a store in a mall.
That's so bogus.
It's nice enough, I guess, but I would need another, like, we went there for a concert for my wife at the National Symphony. I would need another reason like that to go back to Nashville. I wouldn't be like, I want to go vacation in Nashville. Like,
so I've been all over Tennessee, and I've stayed at places, but I've never stayed in Nashville. I've always just driven past it, but everything I've heard is kind of what you told me. Like, my friend who loved it was like, dude, every bar's got like three floors, and on every floor there's a different band. And I'm like, it sounds like a blast, but it's like, that's not really my wife's thing. So I've never been like, let's go to, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like she'd be like bored pretty quick. Like, she likes country music for sure, but she's just not a huge drinker. So it's just like,
that was part of it too, Jeff, was like, the bar scene's not really my wife's thing. Like, so, like, hopping
kind of like aging out of it at this point. Like, I still drink, obviously, but like, I want to drink at my house where I can just go to bed. Like,
Or like, if I'm going to go to the bar, I just want to like post up on the bar, like, and like talk and drink. And like, I don't want to do
super loud. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's like, it's all people way younger than me. Like, early to late 20s, like, so everybody's basically in their 20s. They're there for bachelorette parties, so many bachelorette parties. It just like wandering up, like, and evidently it gets like, once it gets really late night, it just becomes like the drunken puke show out in the middle of the street. Like, people are just like stumbling out of the bars, puking on the ground. Like, we missed all that, but I like, we're going back to Tennessee this summer with the family for vacation, but we're going to like Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge, and like, that's more, it's a little quieter, it's a little more my speed, I guess, now.
Yeah. If I were to do a trip like that, I would almost, like, if I were to go to like this, this is about bars and drinking, and I would probably want to, like, if I had to choose between the two, I would choose New Orleans, even though I've been there.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the vibe that Broadway gives, is Bourbon Street.
Yeah. But I just like the flavor of Bourbon Street a little more than
picture Nashville being. My wife noticed this as well. It wasn't something that really hit me, but she's like, you can't leave the bar with your drink, and you can on Bourbon Street, right?
Yeah.
Like, you just leave there, you wander out to another bar, you walk in, get another drink, wander out to another bar. Like, here, it's like, now finish your drink or leave it. And it's like, well, it cost me $15.
It's, I guess that's kind of bogus. It's a whole party area. Like, you know, like, put it in a fucking plastic cup and let's go, dude. Like,
yeah, just like, at least in this like 12 block area, like, let us walk around. Like, there's street vendors with food, and just let us walk around with a drink. Like, if you don't want us wandering around with a bottle of beer, then pour everything into like a red Solo cup or something, like you said.
You're allowed to wander around in San Antonio.
Yeah. How is
Riverwalk?
How is Texas there?
I was out in San Antonio for a few hours, and then as I normally do when I'm at work, I got consigned to a windowless hotel ballroom for several days. And then I was released at the end, and I went to an Irish bar and drank my worries away.
Fun.
Yeah. It's why this was my fourth trip to San Antonio. It's a really common event city now.
Was it a legit Irish bar?
It was, there were actual Irish people there when I walked in.
That's how you know. That's how you know. Yes.
They gave you
they knew how to pour their Guinness. So yeah, that's kind of like, I desperately wanted a Guinness. I don't know why, so I saw the Irish bar.
Dude, I've been on a Guinness kick, man. I love it.
Oh, yeah. No, I drank three of them. They were huge, delicious, wonderful.
So we're all back now. Anything else going on in San Antonio, though, Tony? Or I know you were there for work, so.
Yeah, it was the end of Fiesta, which is their like 2-week celebration of the Battle of the Alamo. So there was like a parade and there was sound. I was also there for two San Antonio Spurs victories. You probably don't know this about San Antonio, but whenever the Spurs win a big game, everyone drives around the middle of the city honking their horns for victory.
Oh.
Like, it's not like a traffic jam. It's literally they're trying to, like, honk their horns in celebration, which is awesome at 11:30 p.m. when you have to be up at 4 a.m. for your flight home. It was great. Loved it. Thank you, San Antonio.
It's like white noise, dude. It's just knocking you to sleep.
Well, that sounds wonderful.
Half an hour straight of honking, just honking. Never heard honking at any other point that I had been there. Spurs won that damn game. They're going to the second round of the playoffs, and I can't sleep. Thanks, guys.
Like, you could hear them from the hotel?
San Antonio's not huge.
Right.
So I could actually see the Alamo Dome from my window of my hotel room. So it wasn't that far away.
All right. Also, it's going back to Nashville real quick. They need to change their hockey team's name. we support the Predators. Proud sponsor of Predators. Like, come on. Like, you guys got to do better.
You got like a middle-aged man peeking through a window, Predator.
My wife's like, why didn't they do like the toothy cat thing? Like, because that's their logo, their mascot. Like, I don't know why they're not the Nashville Sabretooths, but the Predators is a horrible name. Especially now. Like, it was always a horrible name, but it's even worse now. All right. Well, we're all back. Except Earl. He went to Mexico. We're not sure where he is today. He's helping his family. I think it's
Mexican trivia. That's where he is.
I think it's because we asked them to play an open world first person game RPG, and I'm gonna wait till they talk about that game.
Until they come back, we're gonna ask him though. We're gonna make him testify.
Did you play this game, Earl? And because we actually, the thing I'm most interested about is like, does he actually enjoy those types of games? But. A couple news pieces before we jump into some of the games, though. There was a big kind of blow up on the internet over some new DRM that Sony has implemented on PS4 and PS5 digital games. Did you guys catch any of this?
I saw people say the word DRM.
So... one, Sony didn't explain it. It just kind of showed up and people started seeing that there is a countdown timer on their games. And then it spiraled out from there with people saying that if you bought a digital game and you didn't use it within 30 days, you wouldn't be able to use it. They would take the license back. Not true.
Oh, no. I think I saw it's basically like a. I mean, that's close. It's like a rights check. Like,
yeah, it is. It's a rights check. So you can't. It has to check once every 30 days. Or, well, that was the original piece, was that it has to check once every 30 days.
So I did do this.
And you can play it. People were blowing it way out of proportion.
Dude, the Switch does that. It does it every, I think, week, I think.
Right. Like, it's not a new thing. And yeah, basically what Sony has come out and said is that it's to combat people that are trying to take advantage of refunds. So like they'd buy the game, play it offline, and then try to refund it. And so you have to check in first before you play it. It has to do the DRM validation for you to actually be able to play it. And then I guess they'll be able to check from there if you didn't or not. I guess you have to go online to refund it. So if you were to go back online, they could see if you played it for more than the 2 hours or whatever. But everybody was very upset about this for quite some time.
I mean, I do think if you buy a game, you should be able to play it. And to be clear, what I was saying about Nintendo is about their the Nintendo Switch Online.
I think that's
what I was talking about.
The GameCube, you know, like, stuff. And
yeah, it's like, yeah, it has to see that. I want to say that's what it,
yep,
maybe
it does.
But
yeah, if you don't log in, like I haven't turned my Switch on in like a couple of weeks, so if I tried to play it offline, it would say I couldn't play like Wind Waker right now because it would want me to check online.
But I think you would be able to play your digitally purchased games.
Yep. Yep.
So different, but I mean, whatever, dude. Who doesn't have internet anymore? But
right, this is kind of the thing. It's not like internet isn't eminently accessible everywhere. Yeah.
And it's for digital games. So like you had to have the internet to buy the game.
I mean, I guess it's like bugs you buy a disc.
Right. Like if you're that upset with it, go buy a disc. Like most likely the game's not fully on that disc, but
yeah, in many cases. You know,
at least you have what you consider ownership. So that was going on. And then I guess in good news, it's weird for me to couch that a little bit, but Xbox dropped the price of Game Pass.
Yay. What am I gonna do with this extra $7 a month?
Exactly. So they dropped
the Starbucks and get a coffee.
Famously raised it last September, October from $19.99 a month to $29.99 a month. They have now dropped it to $22.99 a month, and PC Game Pass, which also had seen an increase to $16.50 a month, will drop to $13.99 a month. I guess the big piece out of this, though, is Call of Duty will not show up day one in Game Pass going forward. It'll show up about a year later.
That seems fair.
Oh. Yeah.
You want Call of Duty, buy it at launch, I guess. Fewer people want Call of Duty anyway, so.
That's what I'm wondering. Like, I think they looked at the numbers for Call of Duty and I'm like, shit, like, we lost out on a lot of sales, but did they?
They may have been drawing the wrong conclusion. That the right conclusion might be that perhaps after more than 20 years of Call of Duty, people are tiring of Call of Duty.
Right. Like, even if it's a good Call of Duty, and I would say this year's wasn't great, it's been the top game for 20 years straight. Like, it's maybe it's time's up.
Yeah.
How do you guys feel about $22.99 as a price, though?
I think if you were to go back in time and say, okay, we're raising the price of Game Pass from 1995 or 1999 $22.99, everybody be like, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like probably the price where it should be.
Every subscription service does that too, where it's like, it's a couple dollars more this year, you know? Like, it's just, you're so used to it. I don't know.
And
the previous price increase was insane. Like, I think that's the problem. It was so much higher. The sticker shock, I think, lost them a lot of subscribers. If they'd have done this in the first place, it would have been fine.
Yeah, I think I agree with you guys. $2-3 is not a giant ask, right? Like, it's getting to be, I guess, like when you think about it, but like $3 isn't, in the grand scheme of things, like whatever, it's an extra $3, but $10, you start to think about, all right, well, I could do something with $10.
Right.
$22.99 is a weird price, though. It just doesn't look right.
It's an odd number, but
it doesn't, you know, it doesn't feel like, there was this discussion last year with the Peak guys about like, oh, like $7.99 is $5, but $8.99 is $10. $22.99 does not feel like $25, but it doesn't feel like $20 either. It feels like $23. It doesn't, I don't get that, like that push forward or that push back. Like, it's just a weird number.
So I was in a price discussion about an event I was working on,
mm-hmm.
and we were trying to raise all the prices by $25, which we did, all except one price, because the price was $975. Because if we raise that price by $25, it becomes $1,000, which is a completely different thing.
Yeah. People start like, thinking psychologically. About it.
Yeah,
pricing is funny. Like you can definitely, like $999, like $999 does not, that's why they do it. Cause it doesn't, it is $1,000, but it doesn't feel like $1,000.
Feel like it. And then if you get like, I think if you have like some sort of discount, like somebody sends you like a discount code for $75. Now you're like, now I'm not even close to $1,000. What a great price. I know I did that to myself when I bought my TV. I had like $70 off and like, oh, that's not even close to $1,000. So I can do this.
So I heard somebody talking about that, like mentally too. I think, what's it, PlayStation Plus, whatever their highest tier is, I think is $17.99 a month. And somebody was like, yeah, I just view it as like, I'm paying $20 a month, but Sony's giving me a like 10% discount. Like, it's like,
sure.
I mean, whatever makes it work in your head, but they're probably right. Like mentally $17.99 is ostensibly $20. Like,
yeah,
that's what you're going to hand over at the thing. But it's like, you're not paying that full amount. Yeah. So I don't know. Xbox making some decisions. To me, these are decisions that you could have made when Phil was there.
Maybe he was the problem.
I'm guessing that they bled a bunch of subscribers between when they announced $29.99.
Phil is a nice scapegoat, but I think there were a bunch of financial guidelines that he was trying to meet that probably did not come from him at all. And he's a convenient scapegoat because of the timing of everything, but
I do kind of like, though, the direction that it feels like they're going. We're like, we're going back to Xbox. Like you know, like bringing back the old kind of like neon green, whatever logo. And
yeah.
So I'm like, you know,
they're making smart PR decisions right now.
I just wonder, like, I don't know. I don't know if it works or not. So ultimately it matters if it works, right? Like if Xbox could be what they were in a 360 era again, who knows? But I like that this lady is like reaching for that, you know, like we're going back to our roots. Not that I had nothing against Phil Spencer, and a lot of times everything he said sounded good, but like it just seemed like nothing worked. It's like yeah, dude, we're fucking like, I don't know, everything Phil Spencer did I thought was cool, and it just none of it seemed to like, no one seemed to give a shit. Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
it all landed wrong. Yeah,
I'm still wondering if anybody gives a shit, right? Like,
yeah, I don't know. That's what I'm saying. It's like it depends on whether any of this makes any impact at all. And
because Spencer said this himself a couple years back, but he was like, Xbox lost the worst possible generation to lose, which was that PS4 Xbox One generation.
Yeah, you know who else lost that? Nintendo. But you know what happened? They figured it the fuck out. I don't know.
Nintendo's on their own
plane. I know, but that generation, they did a Wii U, which is a failure, right? And then they came back with the Switch. So, I don't know.
But you're going to go to, like, you're always going to go to Nintendo for Mario, for Zelda. Like, I don't know if, like, I love Halo. Halo's not on the level of Mario and Zelda. Like, Forza's not on that level. And so, like, Xbox and PlayStation are kind of like, they're basically the same. Like, box-wise, like, they play the same games. They, you know, they have different
exclusives. You got your Sony, you know, Sony has their franchises.
Right, but it's, like, interchangeable, right? Like, Uncharted is whatever. Like, it's the same as
Gears. 95% of the games that are on a PS5 are on Xbox. Like,
right.
Yeah.
And I think what Phil was saying back then was that because digital ownership became, or the digital library became such a big thing during that generation, that they chose a PS4 over an Xbox. You start building up your library on your PlayStation. And that carries over to the PS5. And it's like, well, why am I going to abandon like hundreds of games or however many you bought to jump to a different
system? That's part of it. But it just seems to be like there was like a shift in everyone's attitude. Like the 360 era, everyone loved 360, right? Like, like I get what you're saying, but I also just feel like it just became, all my friends got PS5, you know, PS4s. That's what, like that just became the cool system. Maybe it was the Kinect bullshit, because didn't they just try doing Xbox One with Kinect at the beginning?
It came out with the Kinect. It was $100 more expensive than
I think that was a PlayStation huge mistake.
4. It was.
It just made them seem like they were chasing Nintendo in a really lame way. And like a fad that it kind of passed, you know?
That's it, right? Like, the original Kinect was fun. Like, that shit never worked great. But, like, Dance Central's a cool game. Like, that shit's fun and goofy to, like, play in front of your TV. But even Nintendo had to abandon, like, the motion control shit. Like, it didn't stick around. It wasn't the next evolution of...
And wasn't there, that E3, or I don't know if it was E3 or whatever, where, like, Sony, like, really fucking hit them hard, being like, this is how you share games on PlayStation.
Yep.
And just, like, hands the dude a game.
Yeah. So that was when, you know, Xbox, they were very arrogant when introducing the Xbox One, saying stuff like, oh, well, yeah, you're going to have to, you know, check... You're going to have to do that online check like Sony's doing now.
Yeah.
It's funny. But you're going to have to do that online check. And like people were asking, well, what if, you know, because not everybody has broadband internet. Like, well, for people that don't have the internet, we have a system for you. It's called the Xbox 360. Don Matrick fucked things royally with his interviews. And that just opened the door for PlayStation to do the whole, like, this is how you share games. Like, I just hand it to you and you could play it. Which isn't true anymore. But
funny anecdotal thing, though, is like every dude I know who's like friends with me all still are Xbox boys.
It's all your fault.
I don't know. It's like, but it can't be me, because like some of them, like, I'm not even close to you. It's just, and they're like all like, all these dudes I know in real life play fucking Call of Duty every Friday night. I would never fucking.
It's definitely not you. That.
But
there was a time when, you know, Xbox was kind of synonymous
with
Call of Duty. Like, it was the Call of Duty machine.
And online multiplayer, like, they started it, you know?
Yeah. And even when Call of Duty started doing their marketing with PlayStation, it still played better on Xbox, just because Xbox Live was the better service.
For sure. So I don't know, like, it's hard to, like, pinpoint, because there are, like, group chats I'm still in from the IGN days, where it's like everybody switched to PlayStation, like, around the PS4 era, and I was just like, I think it was, I mean, kind of going back to what you're saying, is, like, it was Xbox One, and it was like he said, like people had started to build up their libraries. But I just think it was Xbox One as a whole. I think Xbox One did not click with the public for whatever reason, and there, you know, there's, I think, mistakes.
It didn't
try to continue to connect, and
it's unfortunate. I think maybe if the Kinect wasn't in it, like looking back, like if you had detached that, if it came out at the same price as the PlayStation, maybe it does better. Because people are always like, oh, well, Xbox had no games. But at the beginning of that generation, Xbox had the games. Like, more so than PlayStation, for sure.
That's the other thing that, like, blows my mind about people who are still so loyal to PS5. Is like, there ain't shit, dude. Like, what? What games?
It's like one a year, maybe two, from PlayStation. Like,
I mean, not that Xbox is like a ton better, but last year they had a pretty decent year. They have, you know, stuff lined up for this year.
Pretty well lined up.
Pretty cool. Yeah.
And what did Sony have last year? It was Ghost of Yotai. Do they have anything else?
I don't know. That's the only one I considered playing.
Yeah.
That was the only one I actually played. So.
Yeah, that's the only one that comes to mind for me.
I don't think my PS5 has been turned on since then. At least not by me.
I don't think I've turned it on this year.
It's been a while for me, a couple months at least. So yeah. I mean, I've definitely shifted. Probably, I think Tony has as well, like more PC stuff. But
yeah, it's just easier for me.
Although
I keep thinking about giving Spider-Man 2 another shot. I think that might happen one of these days.
Yeah, I might too, because I think I do.
It's fun. It's a fun game. But, did you guys play the Miles Morales one?
Oh yeah,
that one's fun too. Yeah.
That one I did not.
You might like that one, Jeff, because it's shorter.
Yeah, I think I think I own Spider-Man 2 because I remember I starting it and getting bored with it. But I will always have those Astrobot memories. That was worth the whole system. Like that game fucking rules.
Yeah, Astrobot was great. So yeah, Xbox making moves. We'll see where they go. I assume we played some games over the last few weeks.
Yeah.
Sure.
One of them is briefly. Well, Tony and I have been playing our game of the month for April. April? Yeah.
April.
April. Cyberpunk 2077, right? 2077?
Yes, 2077. Yeah.
Yes. So we've been playing that. Jeff has already played that and beat it.
I mean, at launch, so
yeah.
All I remember is there was like a chick that I liked in it that I thought was hot.
Yeah, and I just met her.
There's which one? There's two Judy. Chicks. Though.
This girl with like the kind of like the side haircut, like you know,
Judy. Yeah.
I
remember Jeff. I remember you gushing over her a lot.
Yeah, she's kind of like little alt looking. Like
yes, that's my type.
Yeah.
Which don't tell my wife that, but yes.
I think my type is more the other one that only hooks up with dudes, Pan Am, which is unfortunate because I thought it was the other way around. And so I have a lady character. I have a lady V. Tony, what do you think about Cyberpunk 2077?
So this is my third time trying the game. So I tried it at not quite at launch, but a little after launch when it was utterly broken, and like you'd play the tutorial and shoot people and they'd be like their corpses would be floating around, that kind of stuff. And then I gave it another try a couple years later when they told me the game had been patched and it was much, much better and a much better experience, and you'd end up in fights and you'd see like people teleporting around the battlefield, not because they had special abilities, but because that was how characters moved because the game was fucking broken. Again, this game has had a major expansion. It's had a bunch of patches since then. I think I'm finally ready to declare a game playable. I don't know that I'm in love with how the game plays, but it's certainly a much better experience to play through. Like, the game actually works the way it was intended and all that. The story is very dark, I think, especially at the beginning. And then it gets, you know, as you move around the world, it gets a little...
The story is one of my major problems with it, too, though.
It's weird because you're not the main character in the story where you're the main character.
That's also, like, spoilers for, I don't know, what's this game, 5 years old now?
It's older than that.
Oh, is it?
8 years?
Oh, wow. If it's okay, well, however old it is, a spoiler for Cyberpunk 2077. Your character V is the main character, but they get this chip stuck in their head, and it's slowly, quickly. I don't know, I can never get like a time frame on it. It seems like it's pretty urgent that this thing is going to kill you,
right? But it's like urgent in the way that things in RPGs are normally urgent, which is. It can wait until you're done with the other stuff that you want to do first.
Right. Which is always like, it always bothers me. It's like, hey, this thing, you should be doing it. It's like, yeah, but what if I did this whole side quest with a bunch of like sentient cabs?
I know that I am, you know, being consumed by this rogue thing that's stuck in my head, but I'm going to spend my time down boxing.
Right.
Because, you know, that's... Earning money as a boxer makes sense.
I'm gonna drive around looking for weird wall art because that seems like a good use of my time in my final moments. it is a dark story. What do you think about the world in general?
I like what they built. The one thing I do like about the story is kind of it's a slow burn at the beginning as it introduces you to this cyberpunk world.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't kind of like throw all of it at you at once, which is kind of good. That said, it doesn't seem like a world with any redeeming value. Like, why would I want to be a part of this world? Like, where is the good in it? I kind of like, what is there to strive for? Like, what exists in this world that's positive and like achievable? And it seems like it's so dark that there's nothing.
Yeah. There's like rich people that seem like they have a pretty good life in Night City.
Yeah.
That everybody else is fucking
everybody
miserable.
Else just sucks. You're all fucked. Congratulations on being fucked. The game feels, I hate to say, the actual open world feels really dated.
It's empty.
Like, it's empty. There's nothing happening. Nobody's walking around. Like, it kind of has a, I kind of, when they throw all these cars at you, it kind of gets a GTA vibe. Except, like, there are GTA games that are much older than this one that have a vibrant, lively, open world. This does not.
Did Witcher?
It's like a bunch of people. There's like people sitting at noodle stands slurping noodles, and you see a few cops going by, but like the streets are empty.
So, Jeff, to answer your question, the Witcher, like the cities, and there's not a lot of them. Like the big cities seem lively,
more lively than Cyberpunk.
But
absolutely,
they're also considerably smaller. Cyberpunk is massive. Like, Night City is huge. Like, it is a massive, massive area. And areas where you would think there should be people or traffic, there's just not.
You only really see people if you're going to, like, bars and stuff.
Yeah. They don't, like, it doesn't seem like it's alive. Like, like in Fallout or Skyrim or like that, like, yeah, those cities don't seem mass, but those people seem like they're going about their business. And and here it's like, it's only really alive when you're in like a bar area or something like that. Like, otherwise it's like, okay, there's a pedestrian over there. Did you start the Phantom Liberty DLC, Tony?
I did not, no. I own it. I'm going to try it, but I have not.
I accidentally started it. Because, like, this is something that Cyberpunk does, is you're following the main quest, and you'll get a bunch of quests where they're like, hey, you need to wait. You can't do the next main quest. You need to just wait. Like, so what do you do when you wait? Like, you do side quests, like, or you find, like, little random, like, they call them gigs or whatever that you can pick up. So I was out of, like, side quests outside of, like, find the boxing rings, or it was, like, collectible stuff that I was like, I don't really want to do this. I have this other quest here. Let me hit that. And it's the Phantom Liberty DLC, which is, like, another whole area that they've added on to Night City. I will say this about that area, which is called Dogtown. It's not more lively, but it feels appropriately lively because it is like the slums of Night City. Like,
yeah, the slums of the slums.
Yeah. So, like, Night City is kind of a slum. This is worse. Like, this is
sort of Detroit. Like,
sure. But, like Detroit as seen in, like, a RoboCop. Like, that type of Detroit, like where everything is just kind of, like, bombed out, and, like, the really poor and destitute are kind of, like, locked away in this like little section of the city.
So Grand Bahama.
Sure, Grand Bahama. Look at
that. This is the building where people jump off themselves in Night City.
And Jeff, we talked about it a little bit. You were like, it's a good one of those games. And by that, I think we mean, like, Fallout.
Yeah.
First person RPG. I think you're probably right. Like, it's a good playable one of those. I don't know if it's at the top end of it.
No, I would not put it up anywhere close to a
visually. I think it's beautiful.
It's beautiful. So they're a very attractive looking game. They got that.
And when you're talking with people, I really like how that stuff works. Like, when you talk with people in Fallout, it, like, brings you into, like, that. We're gonna zoom in on the character's face. Like, you're kind of still in control of your character for the most part, and, like, you can move around the person you're talking to. That stuff's all pretty cool. Like, yeah. And they have nice facial expressions. All the characters look cool. Everything looks, like, appropriately grimy or glossy, depending upon where you are in the city. I like all that stuff. I think it's neat. I'm glad you chose it so I could finally get it going, get it off of my backlog.
Yeah, I definitely, like, I feel like I need to play more of it. Like, I am enjoying it. It's the kind of game that I like, and I need to play more of it. The one other thing that I want to pick at, though, the combat. Does the AI seem super dumb? Or is it just me? Like, they just stand there?
Yeah, it's very good. Like,
yeah,
they'll stand there. They'll maybe hide behind cover, and then they'll, like, pop their head up. Like, it just seems very simplistic.
Yeah,
I don't know if
quote-unquote boss battles, like, the bosses, they'll just tend to stand in the middle. Like, they're very strong, but they just stand in the middle of the open and don't really do a whole lot except stand there to die.
I mean, to be fair, in this genre, I don't usually find the combat to be the best.
But I disagree, because The Witcher 3's combat was fantastic. Like, it's the highlight of the game.
I hated the combat in the game. But I know, I'm thinking of more of, like, Fallout.
Those games don't have awesome combat, but in this, like, there were definitely stretches where, like, oh, they've shot me enough times, I'm wounded, and I would just walk back down the corridor and stand there until my health came back.
Yeah, like, they're not chasing you. Walk right back
down the corridor. Like, nobody would ever pursue me. Like, it's... I feel like things in Fallout are actually trying to kill me, and nothing here is actually trying to kill me.
I also think Fallout's combat, which I think the shooting in Fallout sucks. I don't think the shooting here is great either, but Fallout has VATS. So it's like, I can kind of like make it into a turn-based type thing.
And I think Fallout 4 kind of like was making good strides in the shooting.
And Starfield actually does have decent shooting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like it keeps getting better. Like the genre keeps getting better at it. Yeah. But like I never once during Skyrim, which is a great game, got done with a fight and was like, oh, yeah, that was awesome.
That was awesome. Yeah.
No, like you're fighting a fucking dragon in Skyrim and it's just like you're banging a trash can lid again.
Yeah.
Like against something. It's like, this is not great. Yeah, it's cyberpunk.
Yeah,
I'm glad we're playing it.
Finally getting this monkey off my back. Playing cyberpunk, it's happening.
The Phantom Liberty DLC, I guess, takes place like you'll get a call sometime during Act Two. From a new character, and that's like that quest line. If you pick it up, that'll start that DLC. Okay. It has a very strong, like, it's very linear, but it has a very strong, like, two-hour opening. But I think it's maybe the best missions that I played in the game. And once
that's
you're
what I've
done,
heard, is that it's the best of Cyberpunk is in that.
Yeah. Once you're done with that, then they're like, hey, you can go back to Night City. Because, like,
you're like, oh, I don't want to do that now.
You can't just walk into Dogtown. Like, they do a whole, like, story thing about how you get in there, but when you're done after like the prologue portion of Phantom Liberty, they're like, hey, I've hooked up your biometrics so you can just kind of now walk in and out of Dogtown. It's like, cool, I guess. So I can go back and continue the main storyline if I want, or continue the Phantom Liberty one.
I am interested in like further leveling up my character. Like, I really like the upgrades, like it feels like, and it's constantly throwing them at you, which kind of feels like on brand for a cyberpunk game about modifying yourself. Like that actually feels real.
And there's a lot of that too. So there's like the normal skill, you know, slot, like, you know, your health, speed, all that. I think it's called like body intelligence or whatever. So you have like those attributes, and then each of them has like skill slots, I guess.
Yeah.
That you can like apply to. So like all that stuff's pretty cool. So you can really spec yourself out.
Pick one that you like and level it up more, which is fun.
And then there's a whole, like, similar to Skyrim and like Oblivion, where there's also a like sub leveling. For like, hey, if you're really good at shooting people in the head, you're gonna up this skill. I think it's called Headhunter.
Yeah, like, I noticed that my Headhunter was higher than all my other skills.
Yeah, so like you're getting headshots, and there's also something called Shinobi, which is like, I guess if you are a sneaky person, like that'll level up.
Yeah, mine's still at zero.
Netrunner, which is like if you're hacking shit, which I do like that, like, because everybody has like these modifications you can like press, like I think it's LB.
I like watching them blow themselves up, like, I overload you, or you blind them, like it's there's an upgrade,
reboot their eyes,
skew more than one too, so you're like, oh, I blow you up, oh, I blow you up again, oh, that's a shame.
I like to short circuit them because it damages them and stuns them. There's some fun stuff there. It's just,
you guys have passed over the best thing about the game, which is the vending machine that talks to you.
So where is this? Because I remember you telling us this story about like this vending machine.
You hadn't found it? I don't know. Dude, it was years ago. I honestly just popped back in my head. I was trying to think of things about the game that I liked or whatever. But
I remember you telling us the story about it. And like, there's a whole
question. Like, you'd be passing, you're just walking down the street, and the vending machine would be like, hey, you. And like, it was just like trying to sell you shit. Tony, you didn't find this vending machine?
No, I have not yet.
What the fuck? Have you guys played this game?
I'm coming up on Act
3. No, we've been talking about it for the last 20 minutes. No, neither of us have played it at all.
Jeff, did you do the taxi cab quest line?
Yeah, Can't say, man. There's very little I remember about the game.
So,
like, I was trying to talk to you. I thought that was really clever. Because it would send you out, like, eventually, if you kept talking to the... Go ahead.
Well, I found this whole, like, quest line with the taxi that... It's like... It's a taxi that brings you to the opening mission, like, where...
Everything kind of goes Delmar, bad.
Delmain.
Yeah, there's a
whole quest line where you have to go find like these seven cabs that have gone AWOL. And they all have different personalities, and some of them are trying to kill you, some of them are depressed. Like
the cabs themselves?
Yeah, like, the cabs themselves have their own like the AI is
split I wanna track down this quest line.
You should get the call soon if you've just met Judy or like you're right around there. Once you meet Johnny, like that quest line should show up at some point.
All right, I have met Johnny. Like so, I think where I stopped was right after you wake up, mm-hmm. after you're infected with the thing, and he's standing in your room. That's where I am right now.
Okay, so you just brought back. To your apartment.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So you should get it at some point in the near future. It's a very goofy storyline, like where the cabs all have like different personalities because they've split off from the main cab AI. But I'm gonna look for that vending machine, Jeff.
I think it's like outside.
Jeff. Maybe it wasn't in the game, Jeff. Maybe
they took it out.
I think you met a vending machine in your hometown and it was alive.
Jeff
I wish there was one that cool. I'd be talking to it like ChatGPT. Like I'd be going to it for therapy.
You'll be dead in weeks.
So that's Cyberpunk 2077. Tony, you play anything else?
No, because I've been on the road so much. Yeah. So I haven't really played. Except for the other game we're going to talk about.
Yeah,
I have played some of that.
Jeff, anything besides Vampire Crawlers that you wanted to talk about?
I guess the big one I've played is Tamagotchi Life, the new one on Switch.
Mm-hmm. I've heard good things.
Yeah, it's. It is, so I remember buying the 3DS game and not really getting into it. I can kind of see why now. It's kind of like if you took The Sims and you stripped all the actual, like, gameplay elements out of The Sims. You know, The Sims, you have to, like, monitor their happiness and this and that. Yep. Like, they have to go to the bathroom. You know, you're trying to advance them in their careers. And it's like... Imagine if you stripped all that out except like they get hungry.
Oh, great.
You just have to feed them.
But you don't even have to do that. You could totally ignore it completely. But every once in a while, one of them will be like, hey. And like if you click on them, like, I'm hungry. And you just give them some food. But like you could also like ignore it. Like you could have characters walking around on an empty stomach for weeks and they're not going to die or some of them won't complain or anything. So, like, you take The Sims and you strip all that stuff away, like, what are you left with? And it's kind of... I don't know, it's like this... First off, when do we start calling these cozy games? Because I want to find out who decided that Life Sims were called cozy games. And I want to punch them in the fucking face.
Came about...
That is not cozy.
When... It was like COVID when everybody kind of like fell in love again with
Animal Crossing. I did not hear that till this year.
Okay.
All of a sudden, everybody calls these games cozy games. Like, I've always called them Life Sims, which is what they fucking were. Anyway, little aside.
I think it's because it doesn't take a lot of effort and like, it's like warm. It's like this. It's warm. It's fuzzy. It's cozy.
It's chill.
Like, it's like a chill type game. So like it's not stressful. I think it's where people are coming at with the cozy.
I just don't like the term, and I don't like. I don't like how everyone adopted it out of nowhere, because everyone just calls these games cozy games now. Anyways, end of that mini rant. So like you strip away those things, it's like, what are you left with? And it's kind of like this fishbowl that you check in on to see what's going on in there. Mm-hmm. And that is fun if you are like, where I'm fine. I personally like the game, but like, for instance, today I played it for maybe 10 minutes, maybe less than 10 minutes. Just checked in on everything, went to see what was for sale at the stores and stuff like that. But I think if you are going to have fun with Tamagotchi Life, the fun of it is, at least for me, like how I've somehow sunk more than 20 hours into this game, is you create characters. And I'm creating, you know, me's based off of, like, fictional characters. And as you level them up, you get to add quirks to them. You get to add expressions and sayings, things that they'll say, things that they'll be interested in talking about. And so for me, like, I'm kind of creating my own goals in the game, although I think this is, like, the only way to really have fun with it is, like, you create a character from a TV show. Like, you create Walter White, right? And you try to, as you level them up, drive their personality so that they're more like the character they are on the show in the game. And as you go on, you have all, I have a bunch of like famous characters like bumping into each other. It just goes with this chaotic thing with these crazy personalities, and that's fun. And I think, you know, so, like, my thing, like, I tell people that ask me about it, I was like, you kind of have to make your own fun of it. It's almost like you're, like, playing make-believe or, you know. But the thing I think is really great about it compared to other cozy games is that it's, like, it's really, like, bizarre and quirky and, like, insane, where it's just, like, you'll get to see, like, they'll be like, check out on these people. They're like, they're in the diner talking. And then like you drop it on them and you see a whole cutscene of them talking, like having a whole conversation about shit. Or like you'll see a dude, he's like Pat, like one of your characters you made, he's like passed out asleep somewhere and you can see he's dreaming. You click on the bubble of his dream and you get to see his dream. And that's what makes this like really neat and special. But the problem is, if you're going to do that, like that's the type of the game that this is going to be, you really need a lot of that. And it's like, very, very quickly, you will see repeats. You'll see the same dream. You'll see the same conversation. And so, like, as the days go on, and I've been playing this now for a couple weeks now, it's like, that's why I played for 10 minutes today. I'm like, I don't need to see the same shit again. Or I don't need to, like, there'll be a character, like, you know, there'll be, like, stuff flashing above their head. You go talk to them. They're like, hey, you want to play a game? We're going to play a game called No Repeats. And it's like, I'm going to name food, you're going to name food, and we can keep going back and forth naming food. If one of us, you know, says a food that's already been named, that's the loser of the game. And that's fun, like, the first 30 times you play that. It's just like, there's so many repeats. And so, like, I don't know. Like, I find the game fun and really, like, unique and very, like, funny and charming, but it's just like, I can't wholeheartedly recommend it to anybody unless everything I've just described to you sounds fun to you. Like if playing, you know, Dollhouse sounds fun to you, you might get out something out of this, but like, again, and I'm really hoping there's like, that's just like the deck sometimes gets shuffled bad and you see a lot of the same shit again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I'm hoping there's a lot more stuff I have not seen yet. But yeah, that would be like the things that stick out to me. It's like, if you really want something driving you to play, like, or to beat or any, even remotely like that, like it's much less so than even like Animal Crossing or anything. It's just like, literally like watch these stupid shit happen with characters you make. That's the appeal of the game. But the other thing is like, I want more stupid shit. So maybe I either hope that I have not seen a lot of it or they keep adding to it. But I guess the only other like really big thing I could report from it is like you know, I mean, myself and my wife in the game, we have already gotten married, and we have already gotten, we have a daughter named Zelda. So that's pretty quick. Like within 20 hours, you could get married and have a kid. Anything else you guys want to know about Tamagotchi?
No, I know too much already.
It seems neat. Just, I don't know. I think, I don't think that one's for me. So.
You have to
want to be cats, kind of like, I don't need this. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's my answer.
You have to want to be kind of like storytelling and making jokes and like right. I made Dr. Robbie from The Pit, and he's like super sad and he's got ghosts following him, like of people that have died, and he's suicidal. Like I made him suicidal in the game, and that's what he talks about is like suicidal ideation. So like you can like. Go ahead.
I want to play Jeff's Tamagotchi life.
Come check it out. See the characters I have.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to think of, like, what else? Like, I like to give you an example of, like, making a character more itself. Like, I made Charlie Brown. And, you know, once I level up, I'm like, oh, I want to give him expression. Like, I'll have him say good grief. You know what I mean? Like, so, like, you're making them more and more, like what they are. Like, and that's kind of, and it's kind of fun to see, like, dude, I have, like, I got Dr. Robbie, Walter White. I have Rue, Zendaya from Euphoria. Who else have I made? I let my wife make one once. I was just like, I'm going out for a cigarette. Make me a me. I come back. It was like this old lady with glasses. And I'm like, is that Marcy from For All Mankind? That's what it looked like to me. And she goes, that's Jamie Lynn Curtis. And I was like, first of all. I was like, first of all, Jamie Lee Curtis. Two, if you're making Jamie Lee Curtis, like, wouldn't you make her look like Laurie Strode so like people had some idea like what you're going for? No. She's like, oh, I think of her how she is now. Anyways, she might hook up with Walter White. Walter White and the girl from Euphoria are good friends. They'd like talking about drugs and white crimes. It's like I don't know, the more you add, like the more vocabulary shit you add like that, it's like kind of funny, but it's like it's all incidental and it's all you being the input of it. So it's
right.
Like
it is like what you said, you're playing Dollhouse. Like you've just created the demented version of it, which is funny.
But like when you throw all the things together, it creates kind of like this chaos. It's fun. Like I really do like the game, but it's like a very hard recommend. Like, if you're not into the genre, like, if into, like, life sim genre at all, this is one of the lightest life sims that there is. It's more about the quirkiness. I feel like they should have went with, like, a lower price point for the game, too. Like, it's $60, which is not, you know, terrible, but, like, I feel like it should have been a $40 game.
A $40 game is almost an impulse buy, like you could you could get me at 40. 60 is like no.
So yeah, I don't know. I like it, but yeah, that's my thoughts on it. Like it's
okay.
It's exactly what I'm saying. That's what it is.
Fun enough.
Yeah, I like having it on my system. Like I check in on it every day for a minute.
Yeah. So May is the next game. Our May game is Vampire Crawlers, which is it's not a sequel to Vampire Survivor.
Retelling, reimagining. Kind
of. Yeah, it's a turn based card based reimagining of Vampire Survivors. And that has come out. That is our May game. Jeff has played the most of it, like a lot. I have played a little bit more of it. Now I'm now a few hours in, and I've completed a couple runs. Like last night, I was talking to Jeff. I'm like, when is it? I didn't even see that there's a number on the map.
Well, what cracked me up is that you thought like that was the whole game. At least that's how it sounded to me. You're like, when do you complete a run? And I was like, was like, you know, there's other levels. I don't know if that's what like, you meant. I don't know if that's how you meant it.
Well, no, no, I kind of meant like, because I knew it was based on Vampire Survivors.
Which so like, a level, yeah.
Yeah, like, it's like when, if Vampire Survivors...
When the thing auto-kills you, that's when you've completed
exactly, the like when you get when the Grim
Reaper,
and,
yeah.
And, like, I hadn't done that yet, but, like, I had played through and I died, so I was like, I guess I didn't finish it. But I don't know, because, like, I haven't finished a level. So I didn't know.
I mean, that's how, to be fair, that's how I was in the demo. I was like a little like, all right, well, like, you know, Vampire Survivors, it's 30 minutes. Like there's a clock.
Yeah.
Like, what is the clock here? And it's, you know, it's just, you have to make it through 5 dungeon levels.
Yep. And so I was like, I'm not really sure. And that was my initial feeling of it was very similar to how I felt about Vampire Survivors for some. It's like, I get it more because, like, it's more mechanical than Vampire Survivors, right? Like, you're playing cards and
you've played games like this, you know.
Right. Like you're walking through an area. It looks very much like a very early, like, Phantasy Star or something like that, like a dungeon crawler of the early 90s, like a 16-bit type dungeon crawler. And I was like, I don't get it though, because like I'm not finishing it, I'm not improving. And then once I beat the whatever that first level is, I did that today, and then I immediately did the inlay library, which I think is like the second level, and completed that. And was like, I get it, I'm in.
And I don't. Did you notice that, like, at the first level, it unlocks a second level for you?
Yes. Yeah. They're like the Mad Forest now has like a higher difficulty.
And each one of them, like every variant of the level, has unlocks, and like they're significant, like things that will permanently add to your game, like just like Vampire Survivors, where it's like the game keeps getting better the more you play it. It's like, you become a god.
Yeah, so that's what I'm expecting. Like, as I get more gold, then I can buy upgrades, and as I play more levels and find relics, like, I'm gonna keep building up my entire library, and, like, eventually, like, walking through one of these dungeons is not going to be very hard at all, because you're gonna be so strong at that point.
Especially if you're going back, like, if I went back right now and did the first level, I would just, like, waltz through it, like, boom. Boom, boom, like just kill each fucking, you know, fight with one card.
So to give people a basic understanding, it is very much Vampire Survivors, but like taken, deconstructed, made into a turn-based game where you pick your weapons based on random card draws, and your deck builds as you level up. So, like, you pick a character, they have certain cards that they start with. You know, it could be, what is it, like, I think the first guy has, like, the knife. So, like, he has, like, a dagger. The second lady has, like, armor and something else. Maybe like the axe or I'm not sure, but like all the different weapons that are Vampire Survivors. Yeah. The whip.
Yeah. Everything. Like if you've played Vampire Survivors, you get this game. It's just like, it's Vampire Survivors applied to a different genre, but it is Vampire Survivors as core applied to a different genre.
And like, they've added some stuff, like when you level up or when you find chests, like you might get an orb or something. I'm not sure what they call it exactly, but you can then add that,
like, to modify your cards.
Yeah, like there's a modifier you can add to
add gems to your cards. You could you also find orbs that will increase your like mana, or also find orbs that could evolve, which again, evolving is from Vampire Survivors. Like, so like if you're versed in Vampire Survivors, you're gonna like pick up on this pretty quickly, I would feel like.
And you're going to want to evolve them too, because like it basically creates a super weapon, which will help you get through. It does cost more, because that's the thing here, where Vampire Survivors, everything was auto. Like, it's an auto.
It's like an action game. Yeah.
But in this, like, you have a mana pool and you get some cards, and some of those cards cost mana. So like your super card that you've evolved might cost 3 mana, and you may only have like 5 or 6 as you go along.
And
that's what you do.
And I don't know if you guys caught this, because this is like very important. You could do like combos where like,
yes, if you play the cards in order.
Yes, if the multiplier keeps increasing. So like you want to go from lowest mana to highest. You want to go 0, 1, 2 or 1, 2, 3. And if you do it in the order like that, I'm telling you, it'll carry you through the fucking game. I was like following that sort of, but I thought that the passives didn't count. Like stuff like let's say it costs 0 mana and increase your armor by 1. I thought those didn't count, but it's like, no, that counts in the progression. So like you're always just looking at the numbers at the top of the card. 0, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 2, 3, 4, whatever. That's what you're going for the whole game. Like, and those multipliers will create massive damage on the enemies if you keep doing it like that. Also, there's different characters in the game. They all have different starting weapons and different strengths or different like attributes. Like, you know, you'll have a character who, if he gets activated, he'll add, you know, like this character, he throws knives, and if he gets activated, he'll throw twice as many or whatever, right? I kind of locked in pretty early on the character Arcana, who is mana based, and I love her because I like having enough mana points to spend on the big combos like that. So like I just like leaned all the way in on Arcana, but eventually you can unlock the like in you know where you lock your permanent unlocks, you could unlock I could carry a second character with me, and then you could unlock I could carry a third character. So you could have 3 characters coming with you, adding all of their strengths with you, and that's pretty much when you're at God point. But that's 2 important things to remember is the combos and try different characters, see what you like.
Yeah. Tony, I feel you don't like this game.
I don't like it at all. I think it takes a game that I thought was very, very fun and brings it to another genre where there are much, much, much better games that are more interesting. I find it boring. The card play is super simplistic. There's not a whole lot of variety to what you're doing. It's literally just, let me go through all these combats over and over and over again and try to play these cards in order. Not interesting. The original Vampire Survivors is super exciting. There's all these things happening on the screen. You feel a sense of urgency. This is kind of just wandering through a level, killing everything until it's over. Until you finally get to the end of the level. And
do you not like this type of game, though?
I love Vampire Survivors.
No. I mean, like
Slay the Spire. I play this game, I'm like, give me Marvel's Midnight Suns. Like, there are much, much better games built on this same sort of premise.
Okay, you like Midnight Suns.
I do. I like Midnight Suns. Monster Train. Like, this is not a great one of those games. This is a very mediocre one.
I don't know. I disagree with you. Like, I love it. I love this game, but like, I wonder if it's like maybe you have not, like, I don't know how far you are in it and how many characters you have unlocked. Because like
I played it for a couple hours. Maybe eventually there would be depth. I'm bored. The game is boring me.
Chris, it took me a couple. Well, it took me to beat a run. Like, it took me to beat like an actual level where
Chris is on the Vampire Survivors trajectory of. This is nothing to.
I've beaten a couple of runs. I'm just like, it's fine.
Like, and like I was like, I don't like. For me, when I was like, I started, I was like it's fine. Like, I like it, which is also kind of what I was like with Vampire Survivors. And then when I beat those runs today, I was like, I get it, and I like it. Like, it's fun. Like, I'm like looking at the map because like it shows you on there, like, all right, well, here's where, you know, there's something you can unlock here. So it's like a chest, a light source, a bench, something. And here's where all your enemies are. And it's like, so I'm like picking a path. Like, how can I get all these without having to fight everybody? Because you don't need to fight everybody.
But you get XP for fighting everybody.
It's a trade-off. Do you fight them, like, or do you level up, you know? Or, like, right. You know, you skip them, or you level up off them?
Or so, like, I did Inlaid Library today. That was the last one I did today. And in there, there's, like, all right, there's something here, but there's an enemy in front of it. So I, like, make my way over there. And it was this red, like, lady type thing. And there's like four rows of them. And then behind it's this giant fucking pirate guy. And he starts to, I'm up to like 60 hit points at this point. He just starts destroying me, like immediately hits me for like 15. And I'm like, I'm going to get fucked here. And I slide out of there with 3 hit points left. And then I was able to like get my way through to the end. And I was like, that was cool. Cause like, I'm like on the verge of death. Any fight I get in now is like going to be super risky. So like there's stuff in there. It's like, shit, maybe I shouldn't have picked this fight. Like, should I have risked going here to get this thing? Ultimately it didn't matter. Cause it was just like a fucking light source that had some coins in it. It was like, I fought this fucking thing. There was an achievement for
just for like 3 that coins.
Yeah, but it was like, this fucking stupid. Because like, I could have gone and fought like the area boss and gone to the next level without.
Yeah, but you start stretching yourself thinner and thinner where like, you did not level up enough and get enough.
Enough, your deck. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because you want to build your deck too, because like, you want to get those bonuses.
Yeah, so like sometimes the fight is enough to like, hey, I want to build my deck off of this guy. Like, I don't know, dude. I really like. So I'm in the final level of the game, and I fucking love it. Like, I think if you're a Vampire Survivors fan, you should definitely check it out. Or like, if you're a Vampire Survivors fan, or if you're a fan of games like Midnight Suns or Slay the Spire, I think it's worth checking out either way. If you're a fan of both things, I don't know, man. I disagree with Tony. I've sunk like 40 hours in this game in a week. Like, ugh. I cannot stop playing it.
It works really well. So like, and for me, Tony, how are you playing it on PC? On Xbox? Playing on PC. So Jeff, you're playing it on Switch for the most part, right? And I put it on my Ally X, which is a handheld. I do wonder if that is like, for me, it's like, you know, cause I can just play it. Like it's like passively because it's turn-based. So like, I can kind of like do something, but I'm not just focusing on it completely. Like I'm watching the hockey game and playing this, or I'm, you know, making some dinner, doing a couple moves here or something. I'm not playing it like fully actively.
I'm at the point now where I'm like pretty good at that because I'm just so familiar with the game that I can just like, okay, boom, 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 boom. But I will tell you this. There was this one level, like you come to these levels that are bridges and they're just one floor, the bridge. You have to cross a bridge. But like you'll start off at level 1 or whatever, like, and you'll get into a fight with like 50 fucking enemies. And so you're like, you're at a huge disadvantage because your deck has nothing in it yet. And you're like just like literally like the killing the first row of enemies, you might lose 30 HP. And you're like, fuck, dude. I have to get across a whole bridge of this. And there was one I was stuck on for so fucking long that like when I did this bridge fight, like when I finally beat it, I studied each hand. I was like, okay, you're gonna use this, then you're gonna use that, then you're gonna use that, because that's gonna add to that. Like I was like I was fucking like locked in, like just at, like literally I would take like one or 2 minutes on every hand thinking about what I was gonna pull, like in what order to pull it in. But guess what, it worked. Like I was stuck on that bridge and I really thought about what I was fucking, like what cards I was pulling, and it fucking worked. And yeah, you'll get into these choke points of this game. Like there, I did have to do grinding. Like I did have to go back and be like, oh, let's replay like the first level again, you know, just to get money to unlock like the permanent upgrades. But I'm there now. I would say I'm about probably 30, 35 hours in. I'm at the end of the game. So, but I will probably still keep playing it because to try the other characters. And if it's anything like Vampire Survivors, I hope he releases like more shit for it. So I'll be playing this for quite a bit.
Hey, they announced their roadmap. It didn't show anything, but they have stuff planned for the rest of the year for sure.
Cool.
I like it. It's a shame Tony's not enjoying it. But
I mean, I'll play more. We'll see. But, you know, for the moment, this is my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, hey, not everything clicks with everybody, so there's plenty of games out there for us.
Yes. We got Cyberpunk and
yeah, you
know, strategy yeah. games that Jeff can't pronounce.
So that's Vampire Crawlers, Cyberpunk 2077, and Tamagotchi Life. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Hopefully with Earl, a return from trivia, and he can tell us about both of those games that he should have played by then. And we'll talk about the Super Mario Galaxy movie and Mortal Kombat 2, the new Mortal Kombat 2 though, 2020.
Yeah. Which is hopefully better than the previous Mortal Kombat 2, which was horrible.
Oh, not good, yeah. So I think all of us are looking forward to seeing Mortal Kombat 2. So, did you see the Galaxy movie, Tony?
I have not yet seen it, no.
So, well, maybe.
We'll try and squeeze it in before.
Yeah. Jeff is not going to watch it. He has no interest. So
I mean, the first one I hated. So yeah, why not?
I think you would dislike this one more.
Yeah, it's kind of like,
oh no.
I still enjoyed it. I don't think it's as good of a movie. So Jeff didn't like the first one. I think he'd really dislike this one.
I just don't get the point of it. I mean, I get the point of it. Make money off of
another $1 billion, right? Like that's the point here for them. I think it's at $1 billion now. If not, it's really
Galaxy's ambitious. Worth of money.
Yeah. $850 million so far. So
is that all?
it's been out for a month, so we'll see. I don't maybe it won't hit $1 billion. Anyway, Mortal Kombat 2, Super Mario Galaxy, Earl, hopefully having played Vampire Crawlers and Cyberpunk.
I will probably see Mortal Kombat 2. I've been so, like, real quick aside before we end here, I've been so desperate to see movies lately. And, like, when I look at the theater, like, listings, like, I looked for this weekend, like, oh, we're going to go see a movie. And I look, I'm like, there's nothing I want to see. Just. Like, there's stuff like, there's like a movie called Hokum, like a horror movie. I'm like, oh, I would watch that. But, like, am I going to go out to the theater, get the large bucket of popcorn to go see fucking some movie I'll rent in 2 weeks? Like, what the fuck? There's just been nothing. I've been terrible with movies this year. I've seen 2 movies in the theater this year.
I've had like bursts where it's like, I'm going to go see a bunch and then, like, it's dead for a few weeks.
Dude, like, there's just. Like, I don't want to see Michael. I don't care about that. Like, you know what I mean? There's just been nothing. Like, there's been a few. Like, there's one movie I watched tonight. I won't say what it is because there's reasons why I don't want to say what it is. But, like, that was a movie that I should have saw in theaters and I would have loved. But there's been very little like that. It's like even, like, so, like, there's very little, like, I'm waiting to come home for me to rent. Or I'm just like, yeah, maybe if that's free on Netflix, I'd watch it. Like. Just for me, movies that I've been hitting lately, but that's just maybe a me problem.
I now want to see. I see there's a new shark movie coming out tomorrow. So
Renny Harlin, baby.
Oh, and it's reviewing well too. 80% critic review.
Didn't he direct the Deep Blue Sea?
He did. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
This is right up my alley. Yeah. I might go see that one. All right. Well, we won't talk about the new Renny Harlin shark movie next time.
Come to recurring nightmares for that.
Yeah. 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 I'll make Jeff watch that at some point. but you can listen to our new recurring nightmares, which will be out next week, where we are going to watch some Friday the 13th fan films that Jeff found. And surprisingly, at least in my opinion, better than they have any right to be.
I was very, very hesitant to do an episode on fan films because I had never watched any fan films before. But spoilers, I agree with Chris. These are pretty good.
They're good. They're good Friday the 13th movies. So, all right.
Okay.
We'll be back in a couple weeks. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.